Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. Bad traffic is a great time for brain dumping and brainstorming, so if you're in traffic like me and you're on your way into work, maybe a podcast is a great way to kind of get ready for the day or kind of come down from the day that was. Each week we take about 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how bad the traffic is, and we talk shop about an actionable strategy you can put in play in your classroom today. This week's podcast is a little late, and I apologize for that, but it actually is the theme of this week's podcast, because this week is all about teacher self-care. I think it was National Stress Awareness Day this week, if there's a day for that, so said the Twitter machine. This week was also my birthday, and I have a lot of things to talk about there, too. But before we get to all that, some quick housekeeping items. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app and leave a rating for us there. It helps other people find the podcast, which is great. Meanwhile, we're putting up new podcasts every week, but I want to start a conversation with you, so feel free to join with me. This is just one person's thoughts. As an instructional coach, I have a chance to talk to people of all different content areas, all different ages, all different backgrounds. And so I love joining the conversation with other educators. Tweet at me on Twitter. I'm at @MeehanEDU. Or if you want to head to my website, I'm www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up about teaching. And Adrenaline Rush is the name of my book, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. All right, enough of that. Let's talk about teacher self-care. And specifically, I want to talk about a retreat that I went on when I was in college, actually. So I went to a Catholic college, and if you're not Catholic or not Christian, that's no problem. That just happens to be my tradition. But I want to talk about some things that kind of came from that retreat or kind of come through that by way of taking care of yourself. Because as the old saying goes, right, you can't take care, you can't pour water into a bucket if there's no water in your bucket. Use another expression, you have to put on your own oxygen mask first, so to speak. And when I was at this retreat, well, I guess it was maybe a sophomore or a junior in college. I think it was a sophomore. That was it. There was this talk of what they called the spice flower. It was about relationships, and so it came from a slightly different perspective. And the guy who gave it, his name is David. He's actually a priest now. It sort of proceeds, I guess, not logically. You go on a Christian retreat, a Catholic retreat, make your way and become a priest. But his talk was about relationships, and capital R relationships, about romantic relationships, you know, dating relationships, things like that. But he talked about this acronym of the spice flower, and I really have loved it because outside of relationships, I think about it just in relationship to my own professional practice, just as a human being, as a practicing person of faith, or just as a person who just tries to like get his head right, because teaching is all about relationships. Working with colleagues, working with parents, working with administrators, working with students, of course, every day. So what can you do to make sure that those relationships are strong? And the acronym that they gave, which I really, really loved, was this idea of a flower and the word spice, S-P-I-C-E. And I want to talk about that in today's podcast, about 10 minutes or so. Maybe I'll give about 2 minutes to each one of those letters in the acronym. The visual that David presented, which I loved, was imagine a flower like a daisy with like one of those black dots in the center, you know, like the red, the round circly part in the middle. And then you have 5 petals that come off of that center. I'm sure my my biology teachers are like, that's called the stamen or the pistil or whatever it's called. But like that round circle like a child would draw. And then the 5 teardrop shapes that come off the petals. He says, in a good flower, in a good relationship, you got 5 petals and each one is growing at the same rate. In a weaker flower or a weaker relationship, maybe one of those petals has fallen off. Or maybe one of them has grown really, really big, but it's disproportionate, so the flower looks kind of out of whack. The beauty of flowers is how symmetrical they can be and how, like, evenly balanced and how delicate it is that all of these sides have kind of grown at the exact same rate. And so when they do, like, these floral competitions, right, they're seeing, like, who can have these beautifully curated flowers that really have these ideal measurements that each of these petals is the exact same size and shape and the symmetry is just, I mean, it's the type of thing that makes you believe that there is a higher organizing principle of the universe, whatever you choose to call that. But to that end, he says, take that same visual and give each of those 5 petals a letter. He says, S-P-I-C-E. And it's easy to remember because it's a spice flower, right? The idea is that each of these 5 petals is growing at the same pace. So, as a human, if you focus on each of these 5 petals in their own time and place, That's great, but make sure you're focusing on the other ones too, because you want to make sure that you're curating even growth. What happens otherwise is you over-focus in one of these five areas, and then you find yourself stressing out, frustrated, burning out, maybe like overcompensating. And the letters he uses, and I'll talk about each one in closer detail, is S-P-I-C-E, spice. S for spiritual. Again, it was a Catholic retreat, so that makes sense. P for physical. And again, talking about dating relationships, romantic relationships, appropriate boundaries, things like that. Of course, that makes sense in that context. I for intellectual, and that could be anything dealing with academia. For educators, that makes a lot of sense there. C for creative, and we'll talk about what creative could look like, both for your students, but you as a teacher as well. And E for emotional, which in this context, I'm going to probably talk about a little bit of mental health too. That kind of maybe fits under emotional. Now, if you're a person of faith, maybe it's your spiritual health or your mental health are kind of tied up together. But I want to make it clear that even though I do work in a Catholic school, I think great teaching is content agnostic. And so it does allow people from all backgrounds to kind of access it. But using the SPICE acronym, I think about it a lot, almost as if you had like a chart for yourself, S-P-I-C-E. Whatever you did today, maybe you went for a 5-mile run. Hey, that's awesome. Which of those five categories, five buckets, do you think that fits in most logically? If it's a 5-mile run in my head, I'm like, okay, maybe that's an exerting thing for a lot of people. Maybe that's not a lot for you. But clearly, of the five things, spiritual, physical, intellectual, creative, and emotional, it probably is the type of thing that fits into the bucket that we would label as a physical growth. Does that make sense? Meanwhile, if you're going on like a retreat weekend, or if you're a person who goes to temple or to a mosque, or you have fasting and prayer, religious observations, of the five things, though it might speak to your intellect and might sort of feed your emotional soul, of the five areas we're talking about, that's clearly one of the ones that sort of fits into the S bucket for spiritual. So the idea for the good cultivated growth is that as educators, and I've kind of co-opted it for my own educational practice, and when working with teachers in my capacity as an instructional coach, I try to hammer this, right? Like, well, what are you doing to feed all five of those things at the same time? You know, I'm working through each one in sequence, right? S for spiritual. If you're a person of faith, do you have a regular faith practice? Do you, attend Sunday service, or do you attend Saturday temple, or is there a prayer that's part of your day? And if you're not a person of like a Christian faith, do you still have some sort of opportunity for worship or just mindfulness? And that could be some sort of spiritual exercise, whether that's meditation or yoga. Just sort of the practice of clearing yourself from the day-to-day, I think Joseph Pieper, the Catholic theologian, would call the, quote, work-a-day world. And that free from this work-a-day world, you get a chance to just focus on the things that are of a higher calling, whatever that might be for your faith or your tradition. And so that S, what are you doing to fill those tanks up? Even if you don't, if you're agnostic or if you're atheist, you don't really have time for the organized religion thing, that's not a judgment on you. It's a question of, well, what do you do to kind of recharge your batteries to remember those higher purposes or higher callings? As we say, like the idea, if you lose your why, whatever that why is for you, you lose your way. And so giving yourself time to reconnect, to recharge every day spiritually, we plug our phones in every night, but how frequently do we plug in ourselves back to those sources of what helped us feel grounded, to kind of get centered? So that's our S. P for physical. If you're not eating right, if you're not working out, if you're not getting good sleep, if you're just driving yourself crazy, whether it's long commutes or back and forth, doctor's offices, health, it adds up. And if you don't pick a day to focus on your physical health, your body will pick a day for you. Invariably for me, it's always in January. After I run the marathon in Walt Disney World, my body just crashes because all the adrenaline, all the endorphins, all the training is over, and my body gives itself permission, I think, to get sick. That's great if you can schedule a sickness, but very rarely is that what winds up happening. So what are you doing to address your physical needs? Sometimes it's easy as a teacher to just grab a Pop-Tart, right? Or like walk into the teacher's lounge and get that extra cookie or whatever is being put out because you just need that sugar rush to get you through the day. In the end, if all you're focusing on is your physical, you might find yourself like hitting the gym too frequently and then not having time for your family or your grading and things of that nature. So what are you doing to kind of build in time in your day and your daily routine where there is a chance to be mindful of physical health? So it's not just done accidentally, you're not just sliding into it, but you're deciding, making conscious choices about things you can do to move yourself forward and feel good about the decisions you're making for your physical health. I for intellectual is really easy for teachers. That's lesson planning, that's professional development, that's podcasts, that's Twitter, that's connecting with people who will make you a better teacher and to do those things that make you feel happy to be in your classroom because you have a great new idea, can't wait to try it. Unfortunately, if that is the only pedal you're working, you're just growing lesson plan after lesson plan after lesson plan. There's a great speaker and author. He is Catholic. His name is Jonathan Doyle, and he talks about tools and fuels. He says teachers burn out and leave the profession for two reasons. They either lack the tools or they run out of fuels. And for intellect, if all you're doing is burning that fuel every single day of, oh my God, I have to be the smartest person in the room, the standardized test, the next assessment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you find yourself at a spot where it really can run you down. So think of that flower again, the image of all five petals growing at the same approximate pace. Because I is the easy one for teachers to hit, but we have to remember to hit the other ones too. C is creative, and I love the creative part of teaching. It's the best part of my job. I think that teaching requires a lot of work, either on the front end when you create stuff like engaging lesson plans and activities and things that students can really dig into, or on the back end where you wind up policing stuff like punishing and grading and compliance and phone calls and cheating and copying and plagiarism. Blah, 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 blah. So for me, the creative element is awesome. But where is your creative inspiration? Does it come from playing video games or playing board games with your own kids? Maybe drawing or coloring or knitting or crocheting, doing something that, like, you know, crossword puzzles, something that you feel that you have a chance to just kind of let your brain go to those different directions. And whether that's your coding in your free time or you're creating, developing lessons and materials, what is the thing that fulfills that creative itch? Maybe you write music, maybe you sing, maybe you just perform in local theater. Things that keep you feeling like you're generating stuff. Maybe you just love to cook. There's a lot of creativity in that too. But giving yourself time as an educator to think about all the ways that we create, not only in our classrooms, but outside of it, to really keep ourselves balanced. So again, the C for our creative fulfillment. It's making sure that there's a part of your day and a part of your life that does serve that growth need, because it's a big part of who we are as people. And the last one is E, and that's all about emotion. And that comes from our families, that comes from our counselors, it comes from our friends, it comes from our loved ones, the people, our spouses, our children, the people who can sustain us there. So much of teaching. There's a great book by an author, Katie McKnight. She tweets under the name Literacy World, and she's brilliant. And she says, your home time should be time for your children and your family. And she says, for educators, she really is a big proponent of in the classroom using literacy centers, like modular centers that students rotate through, because that gives you time in class to get all of the grading done in a feedback model right there on the fly. So you don't have to go home with stacks of essays that drain your emotion, where you sit there and you just grind and wail and gnash your teeth. And emotionally can be present to the people who love you, the people who you just want to spend time with, have a meal with, connect with, make a phone call to, set up a Skype or a Google Hangout for a long-lost friend or someone across the country who you just miss. Fulfilling that emotional side of you as a teacher, if you don't have that, again, about tools and fuels, right? That's your why. That's your center. That's the heart of this flower that should be growing constantly. And if you lose one of those petals, how quickly the whole thing can feel like it's thrown out of whack. And as a teacher and as a human, you're no use to yourself, you're no use to your students if you're not in a position where you feel safe and supported, because they see that and they feel that. And what winds up happening is they kind of mirror that same energy or that lack of it right back there to you. So talking about our spice flower and things that we can do to kind of keep ourselves self-care, healthy, focused, so we can bring the best version of ourselves to our classroom. As my friend Adam Welcome says, as the title of his book, kids deserve it. So what can we do to leave all that other stuff in the car and bring that best version in? And I think that idea of focus on those five can be really helpful. Anyways, that's it for this week. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please, if you like it, message me on Twitter. Let's reach out. Let's connect. It was my birthday this week, so I just focused on a lot of self-care and maybe a little healthy selfishness. So I apologize for it being a few days late. Thanks again. I'll follow up with you guys on Twitter and on the web. We'll talk next week. Thanks.